Hi, welcome to Oral Fix Podcast, episode 17. I am Henry Diaz.
And I am Drew Brown.
We are your co-hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. We can be found on Stitcher.com, iTunes, SoundCloud.com, as well as Podbean. Drew, how are you this week?
I'm good. We didn't get a chance to post it yet, but we should say happy bisexual day to everyone. I didn't know that they existed, but it actually does exist. happy bisexual day, everyone. So if you see a bisexual, kiss them and hug them and say happy bisexual day. But other than that, I'm good. You know, I'm excited that the fall is here, which means that all of my good shows have returned, so I'm excited about that. Friends was really good, as always.
Friends?
Friends.
Oh, Friends. Don't tell me anything about it. I haven't seen it. I missed it tonight, but is it good? Of course it's going to be good.
It was really good. And I just hope that they don't cancel the show. The show is just so brilliant. I mean, the acting is so good. And so it's just such a good show. So, but it was good, you know, so it was a week of, you know, of all the new shows returning. So that was really good. Modern Family was hilarious. Nikita was good tonight also.
Oh my God. Nikita's on Fridays now?
Nikita is on Fridays, yes.
Oh, don't tell me about that one either. That's one of my shows I missed out on today.
So other than that, you know, it's Bisexual Day. And also this week, you know, now we can both join the Army, you know, if we don't, you know, find a career of our job, because Don't Ask, Don't Tell was finally put away for good. So now we can go and find ourselves a hot, you know, Army boy.
And join. The red, white, and blue never looked so hotter.
Exactly. I just love a man in uniform. But, so that was a good thing. But, you know, anyway, how was your week?
My week has been disturbing. Pretty good. You know, I went back to Penny's open mic to do my second half of my show that I wasn't able to do last week. And that was like a real big eye opener for me. I was like, this place is not the place for me. I mean, like, you know, last week they drew out people out of this bucket randomly. Everyone had to put their names in there. And I thought randomly they were picking people's names out. But this week, was a revelation, because most of the people that went in the beginning of the at the beginning of the open mic last week were the same people as this week, minus one or two people, which I think they threw in the mix. I don't know. You know, I asked my friend who's in the audience if Penny did the same thing she did this week that she did last week, which was she picked people's name out of the bucket from the top of the pile and worked her way down instead of randomly picking people out. So this is like, yeah, I think this is all like set up and like they're trying to make a fast buck off of people's cover. Plus, you know, the people there are like smoking like pot like crazy. They're drinking like crazy. They're promoting, you know, the liquor like crazy. People are doing their acts drunk. And I'm like, okay, really? And then I'm like number 37 at the end of it. La Chamaca was not going to have it this week. So I was like, you know, yeah, this guy sat right next to me. He was like reeking of like some type of like really bad weed. I mean, like he was reeking, and that was it. I mean, besides the fact that Penny picked this woman who was right in front of me, ahead of me on the list. She was number 36. I was number 37. And somehow she got bumped all the way to number 5. So that even made me even more upset. Between that and seeing, you know, the same acts from last week being in the beginning and the guy who reeked like pot next to me, I told my friends, let's get out of here. You know, one, I was kind of angry at my one friend because I, you know, she recommended this place to me. And I'm like, and then at the end of it all, she's telling me that, you know, that's why I stopped coming to Penny's open mic, because it just seemed all contrived. And I was like, really? Then why did you even suggest it? You know, why did you even tell me that, you know, to come and do this open mic? She says, well, it wasn't like that before, and I thought maybe it would have changed, and I thought this would have been a great place for you. I mean, it was just like, so, it, you know, I was kind of like depressed, and for a couple of days, I was like, you know, is this the right thing I should be doing? You know, I'm doing the Renaissance Festival. I really don't have a job. I'm like randomly doing websites and fixing people's computers, and people don't want to pay my rate. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to be kicked out. I'm like a starving artist here. So, you know what I did? I had began, I think last week or the week before, I began to backtrack and start from season one, from the very first episode, True Blood. And okay. So I could catch up to speed, because the fourth season, the beginning of the fourth season, just intrigued me so much that I've been addicted to True Blood this whole entire week. I'm like, if I hear Sookie's name called out by Bill Compton once more. I mean, it's like I'm beginning to pick up some type of Southern accent. Like I was at with my friends the other day. Actually, earlier tonight.
That just sounded bad.
Well, excuse me, Drew Brown.
But no, I mean, yeah, they're True Blood. I mean, it's good. I mean, it hasn't really, you know, picked up from, I mean, the first season was great. The second season was good. But lastly, I mean, it's been kind of like last season's been kind of hit or miss. This season there was some good things, but you know, I mean, it's
hit or miss. Last season was just like phenomenal. I was like, oh shit. I was like, that was like a perfect peak, except for the, towards the ending there, you know, they kind of like did some heavy editing on a lot of things, and I felt like I missed out on certain things in the story.
Last season was about
Sookie getting, well, the whole, like, you know, killing the king of the, you know, that area of the vampires down in Mississippi.
No, it was really good, but I didn't like the cliffhanger. Last season was good. I didn't like the cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger was bad for last season. It was like, what?
But everything was good. Everything else was good. But this season was a little bit more, I mean, game's good. I mean, I wasn't disappointed. It was a little, I don't know. I don't really like the whole, like, you know, I don't tell you anything about it, but anyway. You know,
well, I don't like how they handled some of the gay lines. Like the whole scene between Lafayette and Jesus, like when they were making out like that first night. It was just like, really? I mean, some of it just seemed, you know, it did seem, what would happen between a Latino and a black person, yes, definitely speaking, you know, from experience. But, I mean, I didn't feel like it was real. I felt like it was played out. Like, it was, you know, I felt like it was being played. And the whole season between, I mean, the whole scene between Eric and a tablet, was pretty hot. Eric, you know, you seem like you could see that they were really getting into the role, but I don't know, something about Jesus and Lafayette just doesn't turn me on. It just doesn't seem very real. And I was kind of disappointed at that. Like, they could have done so much more. I guess I was disappointed because a friend of mine was telling me that season three, there was a lot of gay sex, and I didn't find a lot of gay sex as you. There were a lot of up to season three, and season four, a lot of straight sex, you know, vampire sex, and I was expecting more, and there wasn't. So I guess that's why I was really.
Okay.
Calm disappointed.
Down, you still have your manhunt, and you have a porn for.
Oh, thank you.
You know, to get your gay sex fix. but anyway, so your week was okay, other than the Penny's open mic.
Yeah, it was good. I went out on a date on Wednesday with this guy that I started seeing the week before, and you know, so far it just seems like. It's all sex, but, I mean, we kind of, like, do, like, this dating thing afterwards. Like, we go out for something to eat. So, it's nice. It's pleasurable. And I don't know. I mean, the guy, you know, he's trying to hide his feelings, I guess, for me. And so, it's coming off very cold. So, I'm like, okay. You're going to scare me away some more if you're going to be cold with me. Just don't be intense. I guess he doesn't know how to be in the neutral zone where he doesn't know what to do with his feelings. So he's either running hot or cold.
Okay.
And it can't be more than that because he lives in Queens and I live all the way up here. And I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I mean, there's no expectations. I mean, you know, I mean, you just take it for what it is and see what happens. And, you
mm-hmm.
know. If it fizzles out, then it fizzles out. If it turns into something, you know, try, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read into everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you
yep.
in the process for a segment?
Oh, I wanted to talk a little more about True Blood, but yeah, let's go. I love Tara. I love Tara, and I love her hair now.
You're a little late, but...
Wait. But can I tell you, this past weekend, I saw this girl at the Renaissance Festival kept on passing our booth with her friends that looked just like Tara. I swear to you, she was just as...
So are you trying to say all black people look alike? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I said she looked exactly like Tara. She had those, like, nipper titty braids, and then she was about the same height, same bone structure, except she was a little more prettier than Tara. But... You know, with her eyeshadow and stuff, she looked just like Tara. And I was like, Tara! She hid her face because I guess I'm not the only person that says that. And her friends started laughing when I called her Tara.
Okay.
I thought I was, yeah, okay, that's it.
thank you for
sharing. Okay, Suki, I'll leave you alone, Suki. Go ahead.
We're going to now go into our next segment, which is for cats. And so now we're going to discuss, you know, I thought I would bring this up, and I thought, said something about it somewhere that made me think of this. But also, you know, you had mentioned, you know, sometimes when I call you biatch, you get offended. But does it bother you when you are referred to as girl or Miss Thing or bitch by your friends? When you're talking to them, does that bother you?
Why are we making tit for tat all about me?
No. I'm just saying. It made me think of the question. Because you had
really?
There was something else in addition to what you were saying about biatch, but I did thought it would be a good discussion to have. So, So now I'm asking you, does it bother you when you are referred to as girl or Miss Thing or bitch by one of your friends?
I'll answer your question, but I just need to let you know that whatever you're doing right now, you're coming in kind of boxy in your mic, so just as we keep talking, just be aware of that. Because it's going into like the zone where I could hardly understand you. Now, going back to the question, does it bother me? No, it doesn't bother me when somebody says girl or Miss Thing. Actually, some of my straight friends forget that I'm actually a guy, so they're like, okay, I see you later, girls. Oh, how are you girls doing? So I'm like, oh, well. No, yeah, it's really funny. It's, you know, And street guys also, like, so it doesn't bother me because I, you know, I do, when I'm with the girls, I do feel like a girl. And whenever I'm, like, with the guys, most of the times I feel like a guy. So, you know, girl, Miss Thing doesn't bother me. As, you know, it just depends on the content you're trying to use it in, especially bitch. Bitch, if you're, like, greeting me as, like, what's up, bitch, like, all the time, that annoys me because it's like, okay.
Really? To be a bitch is the time of endearment.
Oh, well, Lafayette. Well, Lafayette.
Of course, there's a tone. Like, if I say, hey, biatch, what's up? Or, hey, bitch, what's up? That's different from, like, you're such a fucking bitch, you know? Like, there's a difference in your intonation and how you can tell if someone is calling you, are you calling me a bitch or are you calling me a bitch? Like, there's a difference. Or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference in...
It's like, I don't know. To me, it's like, you know, the word nigga. I mean, the word bitch doesn't have as much, you know...
I guess, like, you just said the N-word.
I'm sorry, but it's... it's like, you know,
I don't think that you can really compare the two.
You can't really, but I think, you know,
you cannot compare bitch to the N word.
Well, the word, you know, the word nigga started, you know, because it was meant, you know, towards the people from Nigeria. So they were called niggas, but then everyone else just suddenly became a nigga. So if you're going to start, you know, pulling words, like, it's like faggot. It's like, you know, if I greet you all the time, oh, what's up, faggot? It's like, you know, if you have any sense about your identity, you'll start to say to yourself, like, hey, you know, there's not, you know, totally, like, a lot of positivity in that word, faggot. You know, I will appreciate if you stop calling me faggot every time you
say it. Yeah, but I think there's something totally different from calling someone a bitch.
I'm sorry. Bitch is like, has been used so many times as a derogatory term, and now it's like, oh, what's up, bitch? Oh, what's up, bitch? Oh, what's up, bitch? Is you're ensuing that, I mean, no, even without you even knowing, words have, even thoughts also, that has energy. So if you're like calling bitch, you know, people bitch all the time, what you're ensuing without you even knowing, because of the connotation of the word itself or the term, either be slang or from straight out from the dictionary, you're calling out a quality of a person that may or may not be there. So if you're saying what's up, bitch, all the time to that one person, you're either insinuating, you know, okay, it's a term of demon, oh, what's up, bitch, but really that term has two meanings. It means a female dog, who is actually usually a alpha female dog, or cunt ho slut bitch. You know, let's line it all up, the slang term, you know, like, you know, you're the bitch, you know, like, you like to fuck shit up, like,
I guess I don't read into it as much, especially with that. I don't read too much into it. Nor do I, you know, saying, oh, bitch, 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 like, every single second. You know, it's not like that comes out of my mouth all the time. But it doesn't come out as a way of, it's not saying anything. It's, for me, it's not negative. Unless I'm saying, like, you can tell if I'm upset or something or whatever. But I don't think I'm calling you a bitch. I might be calling you something else. So it doesn't really have the same type of effect behind it.
Well, okay, so bitch doesn't bother you. How about girl and Miss Thing?
It doesn't. I guess when I first came out, I mean, there was a little bit more of, like, that part of your lingo kind of thing. Like, there was so much about, like, the gay lingo, and it's kind of like you heard it more often. But as I got older, I don't really talk like that way too much with all of my friends. Like, sometimes it might be, like, we might gay out or queen out a little bit, but it doesn't, it's not all the time that it's not, like, every second that it's, like, it becomes, like, it's almost like every other word. So it's not, we can have more, like, conversation. It's not like, ooh, girls, you know what I did, girl, you know? So it's not as prominent as it might have been, like, maybe when we were younger.
Okay.
And also, I mean, after a while, you know, I mean, usually, I mean, after a while, it's just kind of like, it's just like, well, damn, don't you have anything else to say?
Like, yeah, you know, like,
but,
do you have other vocabulary words that you learned besides the ones that you learned on Sesame Street?
It doesn't really bother me so much because my friends don't really, that's not how most of my friends speak. So, but, I mean, there might be some, you know, one or two friends where, you know, you might have, like, a queen out moment or whatever, that kind of thing. But it's not like, but then we can switch back to a normal conversation, a normal discussion. So it's not like that's how we're talking straight. Because to me, that would annoy the hell out of me after a while. I'd be just like, oh, God, shut up.
Mm.
But it doesn't bother me, per se.
Mm. Okay. Well, I guess that's the riot.
So I guess I can call you biatch.
Not all the time, as I stated. Thank you, please. I mean, you have to draw the line. I'm not directing this towards you, but, you know, just from that statement, I mean, other people will, you know, they have to be mindful. I mean, it's like, you know, you have to draw the line and you have to speak out for yourself if you're not comfortable with something. I'm working with this woman at the Renaissance Fair, and I know she's uncomfortable with certain things happen to her, and she never speaks her mind. I'm like, really? You're going to keep on like that. You're going to give yourself, you know, a whole lot of misery. You know, you need to speak your mind, especially when you feel strongly about something. And if not, you're going to keep getting, you know, runned over like a doormat. So, and you know, all that internal anger is really you're directing it towards yourself because you're not letting it out. You're not standing up for yourself. So it's, you know, why did I bring that up?
I have no idea. But I mean, I do think that it is, you know, I think gay slang, and it doesn't really bother me so much because, I mean, it's part of our culture and it's part of our thing. I mean, some people do get offended. They're, you know, I have had, you know, come, you know, I have seen it when people be like, when other gay men have, when one person would say, oh, girl, and he's like, I'm not a girl, I'm a man, like, you know, whatever. And it's just kind of like, okay, well, yeah, there can be, yeah, I mean, it is part of our culture. You have, again, like you're saying, you do have to be respectful to the other person. But, I mean, it's still part of our culture and our kind of thing that it doesn't really bother me, per se. But, you know, for some people, they can be a little uptight about it. So not all gays are, we're not all the same. Yeah.
No, I guess we're not, which, thank God.
Thank the Lord, exactly. We're like snowflakes.
We're not snowflakes. I guess we're kind of like more like vampires. There's different kinds of vampires. Like that first vampire
You really have been watching too much True Blood.
Onward to the next segment.
Okay, so we're going to take a break right now and leave you with some music. And when we return, we'll start our next segment. So enjoy.
Fluorescence in red.
And welcome back. That was Bag Riders, the song Sunlight, featuring Dan Black. Ooh, black and mysterious. Heading over to our next segment. the main drag. Main drag today would be... I'm high on True Blood.
Okay,
Sookie, you got a problem with that, Sookie? Okay, that's Lord. Enough. No more Sookie. Actually, I'll have a little more of, what's his name? Alcide? Ooh, he's hot. The werewolf?
Alcide?
Gross. Alcide. Yes, Alcide. So, main drag. Main drag is where a segment of our podcast where we start talking about dishing out on, not dishing out, but at least talking about something influential in our community and people, person, place, or topic that we find relevant these days to talk about. And this week, our main drag topic is, when did you know you were gay? Dun, dun, dun. So,
when did
Drew,
you know what? When did you know what?
Oh, when did you know you were gay? That's the topic of the main drag.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about this because, you know, especially, you know, with the recent, you know, teen suicide of the boy who was like 14 years old.
Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah, who sadly, you know, committed suicide, and you know, it's still really so sad, and it's also sad to see, you know, that there's so many people coming out younger and younger, you know. And you know,
and that the family is comfortable with it.
Yeah, and his family was comfortable with it, which was great. I didn't come out until I was about 17. But for me, even though I knew that I had the support around me, it was still kind of trying to figure out what people thought gay was and how I felt didn't necessarily match. So it was really hard for me to just be like, well, that's not me. Like, you know, I mean, I guess growing up, and of course this was like early 90s, you know, this is sometimes, this is dating ourselves a little bit. You know, it was still kind of like, you know, you had to be, being gay, you were just like super feminine and you were just like super flamboyant, and that was what you were, you know? And I was like, well, that's not me. Or there was the other extreme, you were like a muscle queen and you just like worked out all the time in the gym, and I was like, but that's not me. So it took me a while to kind of be able to just figure out what was gay for me and be able to come to terms with that idea, and to be able to like not really care about not feeling like I needed to kind of fit into the gay community image, like standard, but also the what people's perception was of what it meant to be gay. So once I finally kind of was comfortable in my own skin, then I was able to come out, and boy did I ever. So I came out like around in high school. So I came out like around 17. And it was hard when I first came out too. It's like, you know, I went down to like the lesbian gay, you know, community center, and you know, immediately, you know, we were younger, and luckily I met someone who was, you know, just kind of like new to the scene as well, and you know, we met a lot of people who were just kind of like either they wanted to just sleep with us, or they were trying to just get us to do things that we were not really interested in, you know, like they were just not a good influence. And so, like, it was luckily I had someone who kind of felt similar to me, and so we kind of had the experience together. And so that was kind of good.
That's, I had a, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Yeah, the that was one of the other disturbing parts of my week, towards the end of the week at least, that story of Jamie Rademeyer, which I'll make sure to post the links about his story on our show notes. But he, his video was sad. I cried. I mean, come on. I mean, another suicide, I thought to myself. You know, these Midwestern states, and it's just the whole entire, you know, school system in America. Really, you don't hear about gay suicides of teens in other countries, especially third world countries, you know, or if they have the same, you know, rash amount that we have, because the numbers of gay suicides amongst teens are the highest.
Don't come out. I think you just don't come out. Like, you just become closeted. Like, you just don't be out. You know, I think what was sad to me was, you know, especially with this case, was that, you know, he had, I think, you know, as when you come out, you just always, I still feel like, you know, you should come out to your family when you want to. Like, I don't feel like, I never believed in outing people or feeling like, you know, you need to out, you need to come out and whatever. Like, because you need to do it when you're ready. But, you know, you also, because, you know, you also don't want to lose your family, and you don't want to, you know, you still want to have them, have the same relationship with them, and to not, like, you know, your parents disown you. I mean, that's a lot to deal with.
You want to feel part of and belong.
Exactly. And the fact that he had his parents' support, and he, you know, he did a, you know, It's Get Better video, and he had the love and support of his parents, and that still wasn't enough, really broke my heart, because it was like, even though he had what, you know, a lot of adults or even other teenagers don't have, so a lot of, you know, sometimes their parents are not as accepting or of them, and they become, you know, very distant, but his parents were great, and that still wasn't enough to stop him from killing himself, which is really sad.
I you know, it made me think about, you know, what the fuck was school doing? I mean, he was going to the counselor, and the counselor wasn't doing anything in particular that was helpful. You know, when you have a gay suicide in your school, especially when it's promoted by bullying, especially with all the bullying that's happening in the media, and, you know, attention that the media has been giving to bullying in schools, you would think that, and this started last year, you know, there was a school, in the same school that Jamie is from, a kid killed himself the year before, and I believe it was because of bullying. Now, you would think that the school and other schools alike would start doing something in order to promote harmony within the school and to get kids to disassociate with bullying other people, to have some type of classes for self-esteem of some sort, or, you know, identification, I don't know, you know, something that will promote more harmony than, you know, to not just let this, you know, keep happening and keep, you know, kids instigating, especially the community. You know, it's wrong. It's wrong that it's happening and that it's getting so much attention, especially, you know, in these, you know, these days where everyone is trying to be civilized and you know, I just, you know, politicians are talking about other things and about other things that really don't matter right now in politics, and they're not doing anything to change the way that we live
exactly. I mean, and then you have, like, the extreme, you know, with Jamie, and then you have, you know, the thing that we posted, and it's been on the news and, you know, getting a lot of attention about the soldier who came out to his dad on, you know, through and posted it on YouTube. you know, his dad was like, you know, I love you and whatever. And it was it's a really touching, you know, it's a really touching video. You can see it on our blog. And it's a really touching video. And
it is. It was kind of, it was not to be, you know, I watched the whole entire day of it. It was sappy, but it was good. I mean, he was like kind of like, you know, I'm sorry, but I can not relate this to anything else. But it's kind of like Jason Stackhouse if he were to come out to his father. I mean, it was a little too sappy like that.
Too much. Everything becomes it's like when you was watching Star Trek for like, you know, that week straight. It's like everything becomes Star Trek. It's okay. But the sad thing is that, you know, recently they were mentioning him, and during the debate, the Republican debate, and people were booing and wanting him to die and all this stuff. And it was like, you know, it's really kind of, there's so much hate and anger in this world, you know, like that.
It's really
sad that we've gotten to this, that we're in this point, that we're at this place.
And it's coming out, and it's showing in the kids, you know?
And it's showing it, exactly. So, and, you know, I mean, it's really sad that this, you know, it's great that we do, you know, that there is, you know, there's a lot of, we've come a long way, our movement has come a long way, and that has kind of allowed people to come out younger and younger. But it must be even harder for them because they are, you know, at such a young age, you have to develop such a thick skin at 12 or 13. You know what I'm saying? Where you just can't be a kid. You just can't enjoy your, just kind of grow up and just kind of, you might have a crush on someone or whatever, but you have to worry that someone's going to, you know, throw you in the locker or beat you up after school or call you a fag or in the playground. Like, you just can't even be a kid because people are just coming out younger and younger, and it just kind of robs you not only of your childhood, but just kind of, you know, it just kind of beats you up a little bit where you just kind of feel like, oh God, you know? But I mean, it is great that, you know, that people are coming out younger and younger. I just so sad that there's not the support and the school system to kind of to be able to support these kids and to be able to have that. So.
Yeah, I remember when I came out, it was in some ways traumatizing, but very, very freeing. Right before I came out, you know, the couple of years before that, I had attempted suicide and contemplated it a lot. And I think that's another reason why I'm so passionate about this topic of gay teen suicides and the younger kids that are coming out that have the balls to do it. I came out at 16, but these kids are coming out to their parents, and the parents are supporting them at the age of 13 and 14.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're very free and open, and then just to be shunned and, you know, have their spirit trampled on by hate and by people who are not reflecting, are not, you know, good mirror images of them. And, you know, it's very, you know, you're sensitive. Two, it's, you know, you in some way, I'm sure that Jamie's parents talked to him about it, how, you know, cruel the world could be, or how gays are not really readily accepted by mainstream society. And nobody told me that. I grew up, you know, learning stuff from my friends in school and how bad that was. My parents never told me where gay people were. My step aunt and cousin knew because, you know, she had a lot of gay friends, but I never knew that. I never knew what gay was. And when I was in junior high school, people were, I think, age 13, 12, 13, they were telling me what a fag I was, and everyone was laughing at me. I mean, it drove me nuts, like, into 14 to 15. I mean, my life was not as messed up as some other young people at my age, but for me, the quality of it was really messed up, you know? And so I contemplated it, but it was very freeing when, you know, I would start think about it more and more at the age of, and I was getting more crushes at the age of 15 to 16. I was in high school. I thought high school was going to be this, and it was a whole new turning, you know, a new chapter in my life came out, you know, and I had friends who were there and very supportive of me. And I had also you and Kim and a whole bunch of other people that were very, very supportive of me aside from my family that knew and weren't supportive. My stepfather was supportive, so was my aunt and my cousin, but my mother wasn't. So she wanted me to check into some type of psychiatric, not facility, but at least some psychiatric doctors so that they can prove that I wasn't gay. She wasn't going to believe it. I mean, she comes from a very traditional Catholic background. with a lot of American Indian beliefs, and but she chose, you know, this Bible mentality, and I was, you know, what I had or still have to her, you know, she's nicer now, but she doesn't see it the same way. She sees it as a disease, and I don't know. Coming out for me was, it was good. It was also, you know, there was still this side of me that I was dealing with that was very oppressive. And because I came out of all this oppression. And and so I thought it was all me. So I kept on making it bigger than it really was. And so I wasn't really totally free. I really needed, like, some psychiatric help of some sort. I mean, I had some gay mothers, and but they weren't, you know, that much of a help when it came to the emotional stuff, you know, like psychological stuff. I mean, I trembled when I held this guy's hand for the very first time in public in the village. And the village just was, you know, at the time there was a lot of fag bashing still happening, even in the village, but it was safe enough. Aside from other places in the city that you can go around walking with a lover hand in hand and kiss them in public.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I think I mentioned it a couple podcasts ago, you know, I used to drink heavily just to go up and talk to somebody. I used to drink so heavily because I was so nervous just to drink and just to go and talk to the guy that I wanted to go home with or just impress and go on a date with and see where it leads, that I would be such a mess that it's, you know, I drank myself to death because of the nerves, because I didn't feel good enough still. So it's, you know, for some people it could be very freeing. Some people have support. Some people don't have support. Some people have it all. And they do very successfully well. And I mean, that was my experience.
These kids are so much braver than, you know, I was when I was their age, you know, because even I knew I had the feeling, I still was kind of not acting out because it was just such, being gay was such a negative thing. Like, it was just like, oh, God, you're going to, you know, whatever. So I was, you know, very conscious of how I acted, or I didn't want anyone to make me, because I didn't feel like that was me, you know. And I didn't necessarily identify. I knew I was attracted to men, but I also was, you know, I liked rock music. There was other things about me, and I didn't want people to just see me as just gay or whatever. So it was my own shit that I had to kind of work through. And once I got the strength to just be able to say, fuck you, and come out, and it wasn't a bad thing, because you know my family was supportive, and I had, you know, friends I already had, a, you know, friends that it wasn't really an issue with. I think it was more about coming to terms with it for myself, and being accepting and saying this is who you are, as opposed to really having to come out to anyone and say, hey, I'm gay. Because when I told people, they were just like, yeah, we don't really care. We still love you, you know. So I didn't really have that, like, that coming out experience, which was good. Mm. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I was still listening to you. I thought you were still going to ramble on.
No.
Well, I had, you know, I getting back to the question, you know, when did I know, or when did you know you were gay? I knew when I was, like, about 5 years old, and my teacher, second grade teacher, my mother had me in some type of school where teachers, you could call them by their first name, and his name was Bruce, the art teacher, and he looked like Lou Ferrigno, and I used to love watching The Incredible Hulk. No, he didn't look like Lou Ferrigno. He looked like Bill Bixby, who played the Dr. Bruce Banner. And it was kind of funny that my art teacher's name was Bruce. And, he was muscular, he was dark hair, kind of like Bill Bixby, but much, much more handsome. And I just remember, like, it was more than idolizing. Like, I wanted to be held by him. Like, I felt like, you know, I wanted, you know, to, I thought he was very attractive, and I remember that attraction. It was a sort of alluring. And then, you know, my mother's cousins, would come over to the house, and I would just want to stay on their lap and sit on their lap all the time, and mess around with their beards and their chest hairs until they got very uncomfortable. They would get so uncomfortable, they would, like, chase me off of their laps because it was just too unusual for a boy to be doing that. So, that's what I knew. I knew I was different. Like, I wasn't, you know, I thought the girls were pretty and stuff, but they were just like, I think it was more of an admiration that I had towards them than anything else, because it's like their lipsticks and this, you know, they'll smell pretty and I want to smell just like that. And, you know, I identify growing up with girls more than guys. So, yeah. And then I remember being 8 and, like, the kids would have, like, these gay jokes, and I'm like, what's that? That's when a man likes another man and they have sex. And I'm like, what? Yeah, that's nasty. Ew. I mean, like, stuff that some of my friends at school would say, I mean, in elementary school, I knew that was bad. And that's when I think I started hiding that, trying to hide it a little bit more. And more.
Yeah.
And the way that I hit it was that, I guess I ate, you know, because I ate a lot. I used to eat a lot, and then I tried to get into sports, like martial arts and stuff, and try to hang with the guys in the neighborhood, but I was always a pussy. I was really, literally a pussy. I couldn't really hang tough. They knew there was something different about me, but I, you know, I used to put up with their shit, so it was like, I was cool. Even like, yeah, that was the other way of hiding with it, is by going to the Boy Scouts. I thought, you know, I would blend in and it would make me more of a man. But of course, you know, most people who are out there listening who was probably a scout knows that Boy Scouts is not about the, you know, being militant or being very boy-like. There's a lot of, like this gay camaraderie stuff happening in the background. I mean, like, sometimes I wonder about some of my friends, like, that they go, you know, I mean, they were so comfortable with themselves in the wild and showering naked and stuff. I wasn't. I was like, really? Really? Like, my eye was really on their cocks rather than than their face and what they were saying in the showers. I mean,
have you ever tried picking them up on Facebook?
No, I've actually found them through other friends, and they found me. So, not that I was looking, but Facebook is kind of like, oh, I think you would know so-and-so. I'm like, yeah. And some of these guys, I thought, you know, they would never want to be friends with me ever again, because once I came out, I was technically seeing the Boy Scouts, and they were all horrified by the fact that I was gay. It's kind of like a vampire when they reveal themselves.
oh, Lord have mercy.
a lot of them stopped talking to me. So a couple of them really surprised me that on Facebook that they wanted to be friends with me. I'm like, really? And I don't know if it's because of the fact that, you know, I became popular in the club scene after a while, or, you know, I was just in the media and it gave me some type of popularity with them or some sort. I don't know. But they're on my Facebook, and I haven't, you know, they didn't do anything wrong to me, so why not? I don't really talk to them, but no, I don't. I never really had any crushes on people in the Boy Scouts, you know, growing up after I came out. Like, on people of my age, it was always older guys or guys a little closer to me that were a little bit more older.
I didn't really like any of my friends. Like, I didn't really think that they were, like, I just don't remember, like, being attracted to any of them in that way, but I was attracted to some of the older guys. Like, my brother high school friend, I remember, like, having a crush on one of my brother's, like, high school friends, and I was like, he's kind of cute, you know? No one like my age. So, there you have it.
That's a wrap. Now, we'll go off into a break, and a music break, and as always, we'd like to remind everyone that everything we discuss on this podcast or feature on here, we'll put on our show notes, and especially when we're talking about things we find on the internet, we'll link it back on our show notes. So we'll leave you off with some music, and we'll be back for our third segment, Back into the Closet.
Dirty motherfucker.
Lord, and the song was called Dirty Mother, and that was the Crooked remix. And so, our next segment is Back into the Closet, but this week we don't have anything to throw into the closet. And so we're not going to use that segment this time. So next week, hopefully, we'll have something to throw back into the closet. We should talk a little bit about the most popular post on our blog, which is the Joey Kovar, the Playgirl pictures.
Oh, again? We're going to talk about that?
No. But I just read somewhere that he only got $20,000 to do that.
Really?
Yeah. They only gave him $20,000. I mean, he really is nobody. But, I mean, would you show your nuts and berries for $20,000?
No, not at all. I mean, that's...
No, $20,000? I mean, I was really kind of... You know, I thought he would at least get a little bit more than that. I don't know how much they paid. They probably, I guess, the guy, you know, Levi Johnston, who was like Sarah Palin's daughter's boyfriend, baby daddy. Oh. I'm sure he probably got like a little bit more money than $20,000. But that's like $20,000 seems so cheap.
Yeah, it seems, you know. Like, at least 50,000.
At least. Ugh. You know, but...
Wow, he sold himself short.
Well, literally. So,
Maybe he only got 20,000 because he was so small.
Well, maybe. I think he probably also got... I think they probably give more money to people who are well-known. You know, like, the more well-known you are, you might get a little bit more money. Because that means that people are going to sell, you know, you're going to sell more copies of the issue. So they'll get that money back. So maybe that's
why
it's
really
low. But I don't, right. I mean, but still, but I mean, on a personal thing, $20,000 is really, it's really nothing.
Well,
people don't have to buy the magazine because, you know, he's been all naked all over. I mean, those pictures were leaked all over the internet, so it wasn't like you don't even have to buy the issue.
true. That's true. But if they're posting it on their website, also, I'm sure they have like a subscription. Online-based audience that you know he should have got even more for because it would have given it would I mean you saw how our numbers tripled because of that and our so they must have I mean he should have definitely gotten more I think he totally got cheated. I mean, how much would you ask for if you just show your nuts and berries?
To show the goods?
Yeah. Nuts and berries.
I mean, it would have to be substantial. It would have to be at least, you know, it would have to be like a good chunk change. Like at least like, you know, anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000. But I mean, if I was a celebrity, then it would be a little bit more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I was a B-list celebrity or something like that, like, you know, then I would be like, okay, you gotta give me a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the guys from the A-list, they've been trying, he was going to pose for Playgirl, but he decided not to do it.
Oh, I knew he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, I think it was because he has a small penis anyway.
Oh! He probably does.
But he does have the fat
ass.
My God. Like, I mean, he has a ghetto booty. That's about it. But, everything. I think he probably has a small penis. He probably was like, oh, God. Yeah, because he was kicked up and saying, like, I have to be a rat. Like, he will have to show full frontal. Like, I have to do it. Like, whatever. Like, he probably was like, hell no. People going to see how small I am.
Meow, meow, boo boo kitty.
But anyway,
I have no comments. I think I'm on the website on our podcast blog site right now, and I'm looking up the stats, and I noticed that I don't know why, but this week one of the most popular posts that's been climbing up there has been the one of Uriel Yukitiel from the Arisa parties and from Young Professionals.
I saw that. Which I thought was kind of interesting, at least that shows that, you know, people are actually, you know, going through all the, you know, all of our blog posts.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he's up there. He's number 4. I mean, he was at one point number 5 or number 6. And now he's number 4 on our popular posts.
Our audience also, you know, obviously likes the naked people. Because I think one of the comments on that post is like, oh, do you have any naked pics? I was like, oh, Lord. We created a monster.
Really?
Yeah, if you go to the post, one of the comments is like, do you have any, like, naked, whatever? Or have you had
Oh, my God. Yeah, of Uriel Yukitia, any naked pics. Oh, I'm reading it right now. Oh, my God, creating
monster. We've created a monster.
Listen to you. Okay, everybody who's listening, we're not going to become, like, a porno site here or a porn cast. So don't even think about it, okay? If we give you guys some porn pictures, some naked pictures, it's because we think it might be of interest to you. But it's not like vamp blood. We're not going to keep supplying you with your porno goods.
Your porn pics every week.
Oh, my God. They look Arabic, yeah. Not Jewish. What are they? Iliad is a hunk. I think I see him on Spanish show. Wow, people are really starting to comment on our posts. How cool.
So that's good.
Well, the Young Professionals came out with a new video for their 20 seconds and song. And I thought they were going to feature Uriel in that video again because he was such an interesting piece to that last video, which made that song a hit. What was that song? Disco by the Young Professionals. So their new video, Uriel doesn't come out to the end. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I don't know if I even posted it on our blog, but that video is pretty hot. I mean, it's not as exciting as Disco, but towards the end, Uriel comes out like for literally 20 seconds and ends the video, which was hot. So I think we might see more of Uriel in the next videos, their music videos. I really hope so because I think he's really funny and he's really good at what he does, especially in his semi-drag or frag acts. He's a really great dancer and choreographer. I can't say enough. So I'm looking forward to some more Young Professional videos with him in it. And more Arisa ones. I hope. Maybe Arisa has a new video out. Let's see. La 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 la.
We need to contact them to see if they, if we can interview them for the podcast.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I try to friend him on Facebook. He only has like a friends, like only like a regular Facebook account. He doesn't have like a fan page. And he's ignored my request to be a friend. He hasn't really said no to me, but he's definitely ignored it because I keep getting announcements of how many friends he's made friends with. But I'm on their YouTube Arisa video page, profile page, and they haven't made a new video. The only thing that's on here is the 20 seconds video by the Young Professionals. So, you know who I would love to talk to is, I don't know if this is his lover, but his co-star of his videos, their Risa videos, is Iliad Cohen. He is so hot. He's getting beefier and beefier, and I think he's getting even more and more popular.
And he's a big Israeli, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, Israeli. Israeli men are they're gorgeous.
Well, the Spaniards love them. The Spaniards love Iliad. You think he's hot?
Yeah, probably because he kind of has that. He probably looks like them, or whatever. Or they might feel that he looks like them, but. Israeli men are freaking hot.
Mm-hmm. And uncut. Anyway.
Anyway.
I think we should wrap this up. I have to go.
Yeah. So, well, it's you. You need to say goodbye.
Okay, yes. So, it's MICKEYMOUSE. No, it's not time for Mickey Mouse. It's time to end this podcast. Till next time, everyone.
When you edit this, you can cut out some of this stuff.
I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting. I might just leave it.
Okay.
What's wrong, Tara? Can't you just go along with the flow some of these days?
Just end it.
Okay, everyone. Sicky here, signing off for the Oral Fix Podcast. No, really. We have to say goodbye, and we'll see you guys next week, and I hope everyone has a great week. You can find and listen to our podcast at our blog, which is oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. The podcast posts every Sunday, and if not, we're just probably a day away late, and if you have any comments or suggestions, feedback of any kind for us, be kind now, you can email us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find our contact information on our blog, or you can call us and leave a brief response or feedback at 646-504-3491. We are also on Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook or listen to us on Facebook. And that's www.facebook.com/TheOralFixPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter, Oral Fix Podcast. And as we stated earlier in our show, we can be found on iTunes, Stitcher.com, SoundCloud.com, Podbean, and that's about it, really. So I hope everyone has a great week. And those of you guys who watch Fringe and True Blood, please continue to show your support, because without you, those shows won't last. Though True Blood got renewed for a fifth season, I heard already. Fringe, we don't know about. Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
The season just started, so this is just the first episode.
Wait, what? Season 5 already started?
Friends just started. The season just started.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of confused here. I'm in between shows.
Oh, my God.
Any final thoughts from you before we close?
No. Happy Bisexual Day, everyone. Hope you have
a great
day. And we will...
We're leaving you off.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay,
we'll talk to you guys soon, and we're leaving off with some music from All to All. Actually, I'm sorry, the group is called Broken Social Scene. The song is All to All, Skeet Skeet Remix. Okay, we're skidding out of here. See you later, Cooter.
Bye.